God bless you, church. Thank you, Pastor Chris. I'll just get the water ready because I know I'll need it. The tragedy that happened in Sri Lanka, although it was this week, it just so much has happened, so much news has come that it feels like it was several weeks ago. You know, it feels like it was a long time ago, and I just know that those who have faith in Christ and our brother Elder Gadgen, you know, who is affected so personally by this tragedy, you know, to know Christ gives you that supernatural strength that you need to get through times like this, and to also be an encouragement to others. And I know that our brother Gadgen will be that encouragement, as well as God ministers to his heart, he'll be able to minister out. So we just continue to pray for his sister, and you know, we're all affected because we all love our brother, and you know, our hearts are with him and our prayers are with him. Today I want to talk about times of refreshing, actually, and I believe perhaps it is an appropriate moment under the circumstances to look at this. And in fact, I've just as I've been listening some of the words that have been spoken by Matthew during the communion, also to the song that we sang for worship, I might ask Daniel, do you want to bring up that song for worship, just the first slide for it, just to re-jog our memories a little bit? The worship one, not the communion one. Worship song. Anyway, as he's finding that, I just want to just reiterate that, you know, we all need peace in our heart. When we have anxiety, when we're feeling the stress of our life, peace in our heart is so important. And in the world, we are always seeking, you know, the world will seek for ways to find that peace, to find that times of refreshing. And that's the title of my message today, is times of refreshing. To seek that refreshing, to seek that peace. For the world, it's elusive. You know, the world will go searching for ways to find that peace and that joy. And sometimes you can find it for a brief moment, but it's not sustainable. It doesn't sustain you. Eventually, you know, you fall back into a place where you're seeking after that next high, as it were, that next moment of refreshing. But, you know, in Christ, we have access to refreshing all the time. Whenever we're in a moment where there is stress and trouble in our lives, whenever we find ourselves vulnerable to the things of this world, or even things where we're hungry, and I'll talk about that as well. You know, we always know that the Holy Spirit is there waiting and ready to refresh us and to strengthen us. It's all right, Daniel. Don't worry about it. That's okay. Just to give an example, my son Zachary, in fact, all my children, they love their sport, but Zachary in particular, he's quite the athlete. Where are you, Zach? There he is, quite the athlete. And he plays, he's very keen on his basketball, loves it. But, you know, when you play, those who play basketball, Pastor Mick, those who play basketball, you get tired, don't you? You get thirsty and you start to pant for that refreshing water. And just to give you an example, Daniel, that's all right. If you want to put up the photo of Zach. That's the one, yeah. So you see this container here. This is his chug jug. Well, how many litres is that? 3-5 litres? No, about 1 litre, I guess, of water. And so he'll go through that really quickly during an intense game of basketball because he's thirsty. If he gets time to... to get subbed off, he'll have a drink of that. But all the basketball players will have that big container of water. I've got mine here. I'll be chugging away on that too during the course of this message. But, you know, physically we need that refreshing. But also too, we need it spiritually as well, even more. And I'd just like to look at John chapter 6, verse 35, which says... Yes, you can turn to your Bibles. That's John chapter 6, verse 35. And here we find the account where Jesus was just baptized by John the Baptist, and he was being led by the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't by his own leading, it was by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. He was led into the wilderness. And it's important to know, and Pastor Chris touched on it as well, that it's the same Holy Spirit that's in our children, that was in Jesus when he walked in 2,000 years ago, and the same Holy Spirit that's in us, and he can lead us. He can lead us to places where we can learn. He can lead us to places where we can minister. He can lead us to places where we can grow in the ways of God. And this morning, if you want to get deeper in God, like as our theme is encouraging us to do, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to allow ourselves to be led and put our trust in Him, because God, our Father, knows what's best for us, and He will allow the Holy Spirit to come and to lead us. But let's have a look in the account of Jesus is after, but I'll just read John chapter 6, verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" And there Jesus is talking about He is the way. He is God's way for us to be to get fulfillment in our life. But also too, when we look at what happens after life, this, you know, the world is still uncertain, doesn't know what happens to us when we die. Many have just thrown their arms in the air and just believe that, well, nothing happens. The fact actually, it's not true. Something will happen. And the Word of God says that when we die, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. Now, God didn't create hell for us. He created for Satan. But if we don't repent from our sin and receive Christ as our Lord and Saviour and follow Him, then sadly, because we have sin in our life, our destination sadly is the same as the enemy. But God has made a way through Jesus for us to avoid that, because He loves us so much. But it's the only way is through Jesus, because it's God's way. It's not man's way. And that's what that verse teaches us, is that if you want full fulfillment in your life, spiritually and physically and in every way, receive healing from Christ. When you partake of Him, you will be sustained, you will be fulfilled, and you won't go hungry again. Now, sure, when you play basketball, you'll still get thirsty in your body and you still need to take that drink of water. But you will never feel empty in your heart when you partake of what Christ has for us. Okay, so let's have a look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Now here Jesus, as I explained, was being led to the wilderness. Now, of course, Jesus, as we sang in one of our songs, he was human. He came down and took the form of a human. So he had all the physical frailty that humans have. As we know, when he went to the cross, he was beaten, he bled, okay? He had flesh, and he has flesh. And when he ascended to heaven, he ascended in full flesh. It wasn't just his spirit that ascended, he ascended in as flesh. So we know that Jesus had the frailties of the human body that we have. So reading from verse 1. So it's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. So from verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights," what was he? He was hungry. That's right. Now, when we're hungry, we are vulnerable. "The tempter came," this is Satan, "the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" So here, Satan sees an opportunity to try and trip Jesus up and tempts him, because he knows Jesus has the power to do it. But Jesus forsook that power and allowed and relied upon the Holy Spirit, just like what you and I do, for his strength. "Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Amen. So here, and quite often when we're when we're in a situation where we're hungry, when we have a physical need that needs to be met, you know, hunger or thirst, we can often find ourselves behaving in a certain way that is not really ourselves. You know, in the natural, we become this selfish beast, don't we, in a sense. But Jesus here was able to remain in control. And what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? When we have the Holy Spirit, it's the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, isn't it? So here Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, maintained self-control and did not allow the flesh or the devil to steer him away from the plan that that Holy Spirit had for him to do, that God the Father had for him to do. Did not sway from his mission. And this is after fasting for 40 days. And he stood fast. And what did he do? He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture and resisted the devil. And the Bible tells us that if we follow Christ and that when we resist the devil, when we pray and resist the devil, he will flee from us. And here Jesus demonstrates again for us an example of how we can resist the devil, quote Scripture, and he will flee. So I was touching on how when we're hungry, we're not quite ourselves. So I've got a clip. So if Daniel can bring up that clip, you can all look up on the screen.
Tony, pick it up. I want this whole row finished.
You know, I'm just not feeling the woodcutting thing today. I don't know.
Hey, Dad.
What is the rush here? Is there like a worldwide shortage of gazebos?
Tony, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you eat a little bit whiny when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
Hey! My back hurts! Now my friend hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Okay, but it's not a Snickers. Okay, forget the Snickers part of it, but I just want to illustrate that we can all relate to the fact that when we're hungry, we're not quite ourselves. So we need to be watchful of the state that we're in physically and how our behaviour may be affected by that. And God gives us, he equips us, he gives us the strength to overcome those feelings where we would otherwise in the natural succumb to our feeling of need. And it's not just being hungry in the physical. It could be a lot of things that we're hungry for. I mean, that's illustrating food, but we could be hungry for example, ambition. We could be hungry. I wrote a whole list here, but anyway. But you know what I mean. Like, there's a whole lot of things that we might strive for that affects how we behave, that may, if we allow it to, create a block of what God wants for us to do. It may end up being something that we put ahead of our Father, of God, of chasing after him. So we need to be mindful and careful of that. And there's nothing wrong if God has got a plan, a purpose and plan for your life, and it might be something like starting your own business or whatever the case may be, and you have to chase after that. That's one thing. But when we put things ahead of God, it affects who we are. It changes our character. So it's important that we maintain perspective as to what's important in our life. And that's what Jesus did when he was hungry. He maintained the perspective of who is important in his life, and it was his Father. And we need to behave in the same way. We need to have that in our heart. It needs to be part of who we are to remember who Christ is and how he is so important to us. Now, quite often we start to believe lies when we're hungry. And I'll give you an example. When you are hungry, you start to say things like, oh, I'm starving. Like, the word starving literally means you're going to die of hunger. And we can believe that if we don't get what we want or what we feel we need, we start to tell ourselves things that aren't necessarily true, which kind of motivates us more into really obtaining it. You know, now Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights when the tempter came to him and tempted him to turn the stones into bread, right? So, you know, I don't I, look, I have fasted, you know, a few times in my life, but never for 40 days or 40 nights from everything, you know. So I don't know how he would have felt, but I would imagine he would have been pretty hungry. But he also knew, he kept perspective in the fact that he wasn't actually starving of hunger, that he was still had enough sustenance in him to survive. He put his trust in God that he would be his sustainer. But sometimes, you know, even under far less pressure, physical pressure, we tend to allow thoughts to come into our minds and believe it, again, causing us to make compromises in our life to obtain those things that would separate us further from God. So we also need to be mindful of things like that. Jesus never let it happen, but we have to be careful we don't. It's so easy to believe a lie, even if it's just from our own thoughts. So I talked about the fruits of the Spirit before. I can just read that out. That's in Galatians 5, 22, 23. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law." Another example of you're not yourself when you're hungry is the one in the Bible, the account of Esau and Jacob. Quite a few are familiar with that. Let's read it, and let's for those who may not be as familiar, let's read it out. And that's in Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34. And I praise God that, and although it's sad for Esau what happens in this account, we praise God that it's written and we can understand and we can learn from the Word of God. You know, it provides so much for us to get a hold and a grasp of what's important and not to lose sight of what God has for us. Now, just to give some background, Esau and Jacob were twins. And Esau came out first and Jacob came out holding his leg. But he got out. And back in those days, you know, like, when you have an estate today, you know, generally all the siblings will get equal share of the estate when someone passes away. But back in the day, everything went to the eldest son. And Esau not only was to receive all of his father's inheritance, but he was also destined to receive God's blessing and God's purpose for the nation of Israel was meant to be through Esau. But things changed as a result of what happens here. So it's Genesis chapter 5. It's Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34, and it says, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew," so he must have been a good cook, "Esau came in from the open country, famished." So he was hungry. "He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.' That is why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, 'First, sell me your birthright.'" I'll just pause there. "First, sell me your birthright." And Esau replies, "Look, I am about to die." Now, he's just famished over one, I don't know how, he may have been out in the countryside for a few days, I don't know. But he was hungry, but he wasn't dying of hunger. But he allowed the thoughts enter into his mind, and he was believing it. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So there you have it. So there he was believing the lie that he was about to die, something he conceived in his own mind, perhaps, and as a result gave away his birthright, and all the blessing that God had destined for him had now been moved to Jacob, and Jacob became God's blessed, where the God's blessed people would come from, and of course through Christ as well, through the nation of Israel that came forth from Jacob. And again, when we look at Jesus' example, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he maintained a sound mind. Esau, filled with thoughts and feelings to meet his own immediate desires, and was believing and dwelling on his own conceived thoughts of his perceived situation, he acted irrationally. He wasn't himself. And he made a decision that, you know, if you read on with the account of the conflict that ensued between Esau and Jacob, you could see that Esau regretted what he had done, because the blessing was of God was no longer on him, it was on Jacob. So how do we today, you know, in 2019, nearly 2020, how do we receive this real refreshing, this refreshing that Jesus received when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? How do we receive that refreshing? If we have a look at Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 21. So it's Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Here the word says, repent, number one, repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see, we are asked to repent from our sins, to no longer bring enmity between ourselves and God, to turn away from our lifestyle which grieves God. It's repenting from sin. The Bible tells us that all of us has sinned, that when we came into this earth, our natural tendency is to sin, and it wasn't the way God intended it to be, but it ended up being that way because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve back at the very beginning. Through their disobedience, sin entered into the world. And the Bible tells us that when we die with sin in our life, that our punishment is eternal death. I spoke about going to hell. That's the punishment that is destined for us should we die with sin in our life. You know, but God loves us so much, and he doesn't want us to die this way. He doesn't want anyone to die this way. God created us. In Genesis, it tells us that God created us so that we can commune with him, that we can have a relationship with him, that we can have, you know, we can have a real close bond with God our Father, our Creator. Now, what other creation has that privilege to have that relationship with him? None other but us. We are created in his image for that purpose, to have that relationship with him. And he doesn't want us to be separated from him. But that's the stand. But he does have a standard of goodness that we, in a natural, we cannot obtain. And he had to maintain the standard, because even before mankind fell, the devil fell. And the devil, through his pride and through his arrogance and tried to take the place of God, had to fall. And so God had to create a standard to be obtained in order to enter into his presence, to enter into relationship with him. And so that's why sin becomes a barrier, because the devil has sinned and there's no redemption for him, but there's redemption for us. And that's why God sent his only son, Jesus, to come to this earth to live a life that is without sin. Although he had the frailty of the flesh like we have, he was born without sin because he was conceived of a virgin. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit. So he was born without sin. So he became like a new Adam. He became the new Adam, the next opportunity for us to be redeemed. And because he died, he went to the cross without sin, he was able to then take on, he had the capacity to take on all of our sin. That should we determine in our hearts to repent from our sin and to receive Christ as our Lord and Saviour, that our sin will be put upon his shoulders, and he will take it away from us. He took on the punishment that belonged to us, and he stands in our stead. But it requires, as we read in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, it requires for us to repent from our sin and to turn to God. And turning to God means following Christ. It means surrendering ourselves to the will of God and following Jesus. And the reason why we follow Jesus is because he's the only one that God had destined for this plan of salvation. There's no other way. You know, there's religions that pop up here and there. There's religions that have lasted over 1,000 years. But if they're formed by man, there is no way to God through man. There's nothing we can do in our own strength. It's only through Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, because it's God's way. So I'd like to just, as I close, I would just like to put forward a challenge to anyone here this morning that if you do not know Jesus Christ, as we sing the closing song, I just want to invite you to come forward and receive Jesus this morning. And I'm more than happy to pray with you and to introduce you to my Lord and Saviour, the one who sustains and refreshes me. And it's wonderful, you know, as we read at the end of Acts chapter 3, verses, in verse 21, or in verse 19, where it says, the times of refreshing will come. You know, Jesus gives us a promise. Our Father gives us a promise that he's not only looking for us to surrender and to follow his will, but he's there wanting to bless us. He wants to give us access to his blessing, to his refreshing when we need it, in times of stress, in times of trouble, in times where in our own strength we flail around. God is there and the Holy Spirit is there to refresh us because we've received and accepted him into our hearts. Praise God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, that despite the turmoil around us, Lord God, you are never changing, Lord. You are the same God from the very beginning till now. You're the same God who loves us so much that you make a way through Christ to receive eternal life through Jesus, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you've never turned your back on us, Lord, although you had reason to. You had reason too many times to turn your back on us, but you continue to have faith in us to make a decision for Christ. And so you persist and continue, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you for your patience, Father. And Lord God, today, Lord, I just pray for anyone here this day, Lord God, who has it in their heart to turn to you, Lord God. I pray that they'll find the courage to come forward and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Father, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, all glory to God. Amen.